Welcome to Power Up! This is the show where we talk about all things playing, watching, and reading. Sup, my name is Maud Garrett. I'm repping Geek Bomb here. And we've also got Trisha Hershberger.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to my Twitch channel for those of you who are watching this live. And hi to all the Geek Bombers who are watching this or listening to this after the fact. I'm Trisha Hershberger here with the Dragon Rider Army. I love it. We're doing this. Maud, again, this is our second episode, but I have to repeat just how excited I am to finally be doing a show with you.
Yes, this is so exciting. I mean, we are in quarantine at the moment, so we are spending pretty much every single day at home. But I'm constantly playing, watching, reading, and it's something that Geek Bomb has been a big advocate to put out in the community because we love sharing recommendations across the board. And so, yeah, we thought we'd bring it to life in a weekly show, which you can not only see live right now, but on video on demand on YouTube's Geek Bomb and on a podcast. So that's kind of legendary. What you guys don't know yet, though, is that we change things up every week. So first of all, you've already seen the episode, our premiere episode. Trish and I talk about what we're currently playing, watching, reading, and then we do some questions and we have some news in there. But then every other week, we get a guest involved and we're going to ask them what they're currently playing, watching, reading. And then we're going to do blast from the past and questions. So there's something cool in between each week.
Yeah, lots of fun and surprises in store. So without any further ado, let's welcome our guest, Mr. Anthony Carboni. Yay!
Oh, wow. Yay!
Anthony Carboni is definitely a friend of the show, friend of both of ours. We have known him over the years. That was my chair. I was crossing my legs just in case that noise got picked up. I needed to address it.
Okay. Crossing your legs. Yeah.
It was totally the best noise ever. I've actually known Anthony when I was at SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd. Anthony was part of Revision 3 and D News, and that's how we initially met. And then fast forward a couple years, we got to host What's News on Comic-Con HQ together. So Anthony and I have known each other quite a bunch. So thank you for coming on the show.
We hosted it for over 3 weeks for an audience of over 7 people. It was very exciting.
To be fair, we hosted it for over probably 4 or 5 months.
That's
and
true.
It was a twice a week show. I think I counted it at one point and we got like 50 episodes. But you're right, for probably a total of about 7 viewers.
Shout out to all 7 of them, wherever they are. I heard they were all on the same roller coaster that just went off the tracks. And now there's nobody left that remembers the show. Isn't that sad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
But you know what's not a bummer? You being on Power Up right now.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, Anthony, you are the host of the Star Wars show, which you can find if you search Star Wars on YouTube. Give that a subscription. Like, make sure you're watching all of that because you do a lot of really fun things. You're also on the red carpet for all the big Star Wars events. You are technically, I guess, Mr. Star Wars. What is that like? Tell us a little bit about the job and tell us about life, you know, BC and AC.
It's a lot of fun. It is absolutely amazing. It's been really wonderful. I joined up literally at the Star Wars celebration where the teaser trailer for The Force Awakens was revealed. So I was there kind of from the unveiling of everything that's happened over the last few years up until now. And it's been just an absolute dream, man. All the people are wonderful. It's been wonderful to actually get to interact with the people who make it. It's been great to interact with the community. It's been absolutely lovely. We're obviously, you know, things are moving a little slower right now as they are for everyone. But it's still a wonderful project to be a part of.
What are some of the highlights? I mean, you've interviewed all of the cast numerous times over. You've been to all the premieres. You do have Celebration. What are like the massive perks?
After the premiere of The Last Jedi, I got to go to the premiere because I was hosting the red carpet, and they let me into the VIP party. And they had, if you've ever been to one of these premieres, they have like little tables for the stars and their entourages. So everybody has like a table and the table has fancy snacks. And Daisy Ridley had a whole table full of fancy snacks.
Happy birthday, Daisy Ridley. Sorry.
Happy birthday.
Today, while we're live, is her birthday. Happy birthday, Daisy Ridley.
Happy birthday, Daisy Ridley. You magical pixie, you. I couldn't see her in the room. I looked around for like 5 minutes, didn't see her. Literally ate all her snacks. Instagrammed it live, shouted at her, Daisy Ridley, where are you, coward? I'm eating your snacks. A bunch of the cast came over. We all started eating her snacks. It was a lot of Tessa Thompson was there eating her snacks. We were all yelling at Daisy Ridley. It was a wonderful time.
Wow.
That was a highlight. Yeah.
Wow. And Anthony, In addition to being on the Power Up podcast right now.
We don't have any, that's the magical memory? Yeah, Maude, it is.
Yeah.
That's the magical memory.
Just sounds sus. We're just eating her snacks. And so we came over. They came over and started eating her snacks.
I talked to her about it afterwards, and she was like, oh, you know what happened is they weren't vegan. And so I I'm vegan, and so I couldn't eat them. I was like, so I didn't get you.
You were doing her a favor.
I was like, I kind of saved your life. And she was like, yes, Anthony, you saved my life. I was like, you're welcome, Daisy Ridley.
So nice. Anthony, I was going to say, you're such a pro here on Power Up. But that's because you have your own podcast too, right?
That's right. We just brought it back. It's me and Jeff Cannata. If you know Jeff from the Dungeon Run, Jeff and Trish work on that together. Trish does the post show for it. Real fun times. Real fun times.
And I technically work with Jeff Cannata in a weird way as well. So let me get in on that too, please.
I mean, it's not a competition, Maude. It's fine.
Isn't it? Is it? Is it not? I just want to be on the board.
So he does the Dungeon Run. He does the Slash Film Cast. He does 5x5. And we do a science comedy podcast together called We Have Concerns. We haven't done it for the last 2 years, and we just brought it back, which is very exciting.
So exciting. I would give the quick elevator pitch for me, for We Have Concerns, is that it's hilarious, and I think in its heyday, so when you had it running before, didn't make like top 10 comedy podcasts on iTunes?
Yep, we were consistently in the top 50, top 10 for a while, then top 50 comedy podcasts. We never really dropped underneath that. We won a bunch of podcast awards. We were on like Paste's Best Of. We were mentioned on like Vox and a bunch of other sites. We were on Apple's like best new podcasts if you're new to podcasting for a couple years. So it's a lot of fun, and it's we take science and philosophy stories that are in the news and kind of tear them apart and see why they make us feel the way they do. And we kind of also go into improvised like kind of bits and character bits, kind of as we're thinking about what these things mean. And it's a lot of fun.
Is it good to be back? Like, what are some of the things that you're covering now, and how different is it that a couple of years has gone by?
It's a little different in that we had solved all the science. There was no more science left, you know? And then we took a couple of years off, and now there's so much more science and so many more concerns. so many more concerns. But yeah, some of the stuff that we covered recently was the something that we have coming up on today's episode is they found that birds have a second inner ear at the base of their spine, which is why birds can do all that weird balancey stuff they do. So like if you've ever seen an owl come at prey and it's doing that thing where it's doing this, but the head is perfectly still, it's because it has a second inner ear in the base of its spine. Pretty dope.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a lot of strange things like that. We also talked a little bit about a guy who was trying to create a device to help us during this pandemic, help stop people. This was an astrophysicist in Australia who was trying to build a machine that would slow the spread of this virus. And the machine that he built was a necklace and then gloves with magnets, and when you try to touch your face, it buzzes to stop you from touching your face.
I was like, please tell me it's a shock collar. Please tell me you electrocute yourself.
Well, first of all, he got it wrong, and so instead of buzzing when you almost touch your face, it buzzes all the time unless you touch your face. That's not what you want. So he was trying to figure out a better way to do it, and he was like, what if I literally put the magnets in my nose? Because Australia, because the Florida of countries decided that would be the best idea.
Hey, Anthony, you know Maude's from Australia, right?
Yeah, and she's nodding because she knows. She knows.
Well, I will say I have a concern with what you just said, and that is not all of Australia is the Florida, just Queensland, where I grew up.
This guy's from Melbourne.
Yeah, nice.
Melbourne.
I'm homesick.
Is Melbourne in Queensland, or where's Melbourne?
No.
No.
Same, same coast, but just like two states down.
Okay,
so you've got to get through New South Wales in Victoria.
Harp Chan in chat says, "Oh God, they got it stuck up his nose, didn't they? I heard about this. Did he get it stuck up his nose?"
So he used rare earth magnets, neodymium magnets, the really strong ones. And yeah, they got stuck in his nostrils, and this little ridge of skin right here, they couldn't clear it. And he tried to use additional magnets to get them out, and more magnets got stuck in his nose, and
I have concerns.
This is crazy.
Yeah, so that's an astrophysicist. And that's why, just because somebody is a scientist or a doctor doesn't mean they're smarter than you about everything. That just means they're smarter than you about the thing that they studied.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to lump in, intellect and, like, you know, brain power with common sense. They're very in different fields as far as I'm concerned. But there you have it, Anthony. So excited to get started on our power up.
Yes.
I want to get charged on that one. So let's kick it off with playing. Yes, we are hitting things up with playing right now. Anthony Carboni joining us with this particular show to talk about what you are playing. And at the moment, you can't get enough of a game that's just...
I did this morning. I've been marathoning Final Fantasy VII quite a bit. But overall, this month has been about a lot of... I know there's a lot of new and wonderful things coming out. I know that. I know there's a lot of great new TV, great new games. They're coming out all the time. And for whatever reason, I'm just playing old stuff or stuff that I missed or rewatching a lot of old stuff. I missed out on Control.
Yes, you did.
Entirely.
Yes, you did.
I know. And you know me, Trish. You know I'm such a huge Remedy fan. I love everything they do.
Totally. You're the person that turned me on to Alan. I had never experienced Alan Wake before I was on a charity stream with you and you were like, this is my favorite game of all time. So when Remedy Games is coming out with Control...
Of all time? I'm sorry.
Yep, take it.
It's one of, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, has it aged like a game from that time? Yes. Like...
Is his hand to look like Minecraft now?
Yeah, he basically, like, yeah, you can do a lot of, like, glitching around. The combat is not amazing. What I love is just the way Remedy uses kind of real-world urban myths, legends, kind of science and pseudoscience in their storytelling, and they also used a lot of mixed media in their storytelling. So if you play Alan Wake, if you play Quantum Break, the character model looks like the actor, which is very normal now, but at the time was not. And so they can cut between actual filmed footage of the actor and game footage and do it instantaneously. They do a lot of stuff with weird fake TV shows. They're building like a lot of lore of this shared universe of all their games. And Control is like, Control is just peak Remedy. They have perfected everything Remedy about them and also gotten much better at making games that play like games. Like, Alan Wake's a little clumsy and a little kludgy. Control, the combat and the floating, because this is like telekinetic gunplay, floating, dodging, jumping around.
It's so good.
I just have one question with everything that I've been hearing. This Remedy has done a game called Alan Wake, mm-hmm. Quantum Break, mm-hmm. but didn't call this like Control's sake.
Oh. Yeah, they didn't nail the rule of threes on that one.
Yeah.
No.
But to be fair, the first series they did was Max Payne, and that didn't rhyme. So they didn't set us up for the expectation.
Critter Nation, Critter Nation 3000 in chat right now says Control was really robbed for Game of the Year, and I could not agree more.
They were supposed to get Game of the Year, and as they were about to accept the trophy, a goose walked in and just stole it and ran away with it.
Okay, this is for Anthony's Game of the Year awards, that the goose walked in and stole it and ran away with it. No, Control 100% was my Game of the Year for 2019, and Anthony, I'm so excited that you're finally playing it, because as someone who loves Alan Wake and Remedy games, and you know they have a shared universe, they have a shared fictional universe, you're going to get nuggets in Control that are going to so excite you, and I'm so excited for you to experience that whole game.
It started really doing the tie-togethers. There were little things where I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute, that's from, and people in my chat while I've been streaming it have been like, yeah, Anthony, it is, just wait. And I was like, nobody spoil a damn thing for me, because I'm going to get there, and I'm so excited. But also, like, Control does a lot of stuff where, like, aesthetically, it is very much my game. The whole thing looks very, like, mid-century. It's set in, like, a bureaucratic government office that's constantly shape-shifting because of dark paranatural forces.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like a mix of like supernatural gunplay stopping this transdimensional invasion, and then also like reading boring memos about, hey, listen, if you're going to requisition more pencils, you have to be sure to fill out an expense form. Okay, and you didn't. And I'm like, oh, this is what I love. This is what I love. Regular people working in an office that is supposed to stave off interdimensional invasion, and they just have to work a day-to-day office job. And it's so good. It takes everything you see kind of like in the margins of Half-Life, the first one, and ratchets it up to like a million. Ugh!
You say that, you know, you haven't been playing new games. This game only came out last year. I think that's okay. And I want to talk to the chat, and I want to have a conversation with you guys as well. In this particular time in quarantine, there have been newer released games, but what are some of the games in your pile of shame? Games that you have not looked at yet, that's been sitting in there for a while, that you have yet to finish? Confession Corner. I have many.
I have so many.
Oh, so many. Yeah. I didn't finish Outer Worlds.
Didn't even touch it. Downloaded it. Didn't even touch it.
Didn't finish Disco Elysium.
Played it for a few hours, was like, this is very impressive, didn't go back to it.
Didn't finish Uncharted 4, didn't start God of War 4, played 2 hours of Monster Hunter 5, whatever we're up to now. Mm-hmm. Haven't finished Final Fantasy 15. Basically, if it's on the PlayStation, I have not finished it. but I think the God of War one stings a little bit because I'm playing Witcher 3 again. And I'm like willing to put another 150 hours into a game that I've already played. I did the same thing with Dragon Age 3. I played it through again when it's like there's so many other babies and children that need nourishment. And I'm like, ha.
But this is what I was talking about in the beginning, though, Maude, where it's like, listen, we're in a stressful time. We're in a stressful time. What do we want? We want comfort food. We want chocolate chip cookies. We want the book that we've read 100 times. We want the movies that we love. We want to play games that are familiar. We just need to chill. Also, to the clever librarian in chat, we all get a free pass for not finishing Kingdom Hearts 3. We all get a free pass too. On that
Oh,
one.
I don't do Kingdom Hearts.
I have a Keyblade right back there, and I didn't finish Kingdom Hearts.
There's a great
I would rather,
part.
Oh, this is very controversial, actually, I will say this. I would prefer Kingdoms of Amalur again than playing Kingdom Hearts.
Wow.
Wow.
Am I dying on this tiny hill on my own? Is anyone going to back me on this?
Kingdoms of Amalur is like the demo game they give you when you download the Unity engine. They're like, this is what a video game is.
Say that to the 100 hours I put into it, maybe 85. But still, say I drenched time into that one. Thank you.
Well, you know, everybody, listen, we're not here to shame anybody for their choices. That's not what this is about.
Thank you. Pile of shame, though. Trisha, Anthony, what's in your pile of shame?
Oh, I just listed the whole ton.
Oh, okay. Good point.
But yeah, Kingdom Hearts is awesome. You should give it a chance. But to be fair, you have to be both a Disney fan and a Final Fantasy fan to really appreciate how batshit insane Kingdom Hearts is.
There is a bit in the first few hours of Kingdom Hearts 3 where you're standing on a dark beach in the Netherworld with Mickey Mouse, and he gives you a 3-minute monologue about existentialism and the nature of death.
And the darkness within.
Yeah, and everybody's got darkness in their souls, and we all have to face it. And what? Because one day we'll all be dead. And it's just like Mickey Mouse.
I am never going to play this game ever.
Mickey Mouse!
And then you murder people with the carousel.
Ooh, it's amazing, but I can't
it's
get
delightful.
Through it. I can't get through it because for everything
I can barely get through this conversation about it.
Yeah, it's like a weird bad movie, right? Where it's like, oh, I love... It's like watching The Room. You know what it's like, Maude? Do you know what it's like? It's Cats.
Watching The Room?
It's the movie
No!
Cats.
No! We are not allowed to talk about that. I drank so much wine. I did not like that film. I'm so sorry.
It's an excellent film. It's not a good movie. It's an excellent film.
Okay, anyway, well, let's wait till we get to the watching. Let's wait till we get to the watching portion to really delve into Cats. But Anthony, you've also delved into Final Fantasy VII, yes?
Yeah, I know you have played a much larger chunk of it than I have at this point.
I'm not through chapter 2 yet. I've played chapter 1 and like probably half of chapter 2.
Oh yeah, then you're
still downloaded it.
Hey, Maude. Good on you.
Thank you. I'm in the conversation.
Kingdom Hearts, or not Kingdom Hearts, sorry, Final Fantasy VII. I am one of the people, one of the rare people who will come out and say, I appreciate the original Final Fantasy VII for pushing the medium forward. I appreciate everything it did for video games, for PlayStation, for everything, yeah, everything stylistically. Not a game that's aged well, not a game that I ever particularly enjoyed playing. Loved the characters, loved the story, loved the design. Was not a game that I ever enjoyed playing all the way through.
Why is that? Was it the kind of churning of grinding of the same sort of combat each time?
Yeah, I think for me, I'd always come up as like a action RPG person. So first of all, the old turn-based systems, I was willing to do it, but it was never exactly what my ADHD brain wanted out of a game. But also, I just think that at the time, something about it just didn't grip me. I think it was very long. There was like a lot of grinding in it. It was, you know, the dawn of 3D games, and it was the dawn of doing a game like this. And so a lot of just the navigation and the signposting and the quests and stuff like that were still kind of like, randomly try shit and see what happens, and maybe you get to the next part of the game. And I don't know. I appreciate it for what it is, but I'm not one of those people that's like, I've got to sit down and replay Final Fantasy VII. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sprinkles the Dragon Cat in chat says, I have ADHD and it helped me with reading. So just a different take on it.
Yeah, that's great. Boondaggle is saying the story can be a bit confusing too. And it's like, yeah.
Final Fantasy stories are usually pretty confusing, if we're going to be honest. Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I, on the other hand, as someone who has dirt reflexes, like my hand-eye coordination is not awesome, which is why I don't play a lot of shooters. And when I do, I'm not very good at them. Is like, ooh, a turn-based story where I can use my brain instead of my reflexes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, baby. Yes, all day, all night. I will play the crap out of that. So Final Fantasy VII has this new ATB gauge, which is what, advanced turn-based, or what do they call it? Auto turn-based? I forget what the A stands for. Does anybody remember?
Yeah. Awesome.
There it is. There
awesome
it is.
Turn-based. There we go. But it's basically active. This hybrid hack and slash and turn-based combat system. So there's a little bit of something in there for everybody. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. And I believe when you change the difficulty settings, it affects how turn-based it is. I'm playing on normal difficulty, so I don't know. But I feel like they found a pretty good balance. Maude, do you prefer turn-based or real-time?
I completely hear what you're saying, where you get to apply sort of like a little bit more strategy when it comes to planning out sort of everyone's turn, then the round goes, and then you get to start again. I have more lightning reflexes than you do, and I think that is because of gaming. But I also love games that are like turn-based strategy, not real-time necessarily, real-time strategy, but like, you know, even more turn-based than that. So I'm an advocate for all. I wanted to ask everyone, what was your first foray into Final Fantasy? I started at 12. I started at 12, and my first butt in face moment was with Fran. I don't know if someone wants to just Google Fran from Final Fantasy 12, aka Bunny. But yeah. I was like, this game's awesome.
Final Fantasy XII is... Final Fantasy XII made me feel a little uncomfortable with their design, with all the character design. That's the one that was just kind of like, that's the Final Fantasy where every character looks barely legal, and I'm not into that.
No.
I'm not into that.
That one was 13.
That was 13?
Yeah. because they were like, there was that really big kind of guy, and then everyone else, like, they were literally like it's a 15 year old girl in it, and hearing her fight, you're right, it was just like, oh no, and you're like, I don't need to.
No, I'm thinking of 12 with the bunny girl. Yeah. I'm looking at the art right now. Ooh.
Oh, you are?
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Twitch chat. It's active, what did you say? Active time battle?
Active time battle.
Let's see. Active time battle is what ATB stands for. Thank you so much for that.
And that's the thing. Like, that's what I was getting at, is I think for me, the original one didn't super click, but I love how much this remake pulls from Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts and real-time combat, and kind of like adds the production value that they can actually. The first time they made this game, it felt like it was just like bursting at the seams. There was so much technology, right? And the problem with something like that is when a game pushes technology forward, it often doesn't age as well as games that like don't have that at the forefront, right? So it's like, if a movie is like, I want to be really heavily CG, cool, push that technology forward. 10 years later, you might not look as great as other movies, and like, you know what I mean? So with this one...
Well, 25 years later, you can still look like Jurassic Park and be like, oh, damn.
Yeah. You know, you roll the dice when you do that. But I think this one is just absolutely beautiful. And I love the hybrid real-time and turn-based. And I'm having such a huge amount of fun with it.
Yay.
How many hours have you played?
I feel like I'm only like 10 hours in or something like that. I played the demo, and then I played like the first 10 hours of this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you play the first 10 hours of this one, you're well past me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. I've only streamed it about three and a half hours.
Oh, man. This room just keeps getting brighter and brighter, y'all. Look at this.
Yeah, look at the aliens are about to come down and just take you.
I'm
going to
fade to white and disappear.
Anthony, it's because you're such an angel.
That's right. It's my love for Final Fantasy VII. It's radiating out from me. The other thing that I really enjoy about it is the additions to the storytelling and things like this. Like, you spend so much more time in Midgar now, and they added all these new characters and all these new things to do, like new side quests. And my favorite thing is everyone hates Cloud.
He's kind of emo,
Cloud,
but I love him.
Cloud hates everyone else, and it's so good. Because I have always hated Cloud. Always.
That's the protagonist, right? That's the guy that you're supposed to... Oh, what? If you don't like the person you're playing, what's the point?
Well, because he's a silent protag, and it's more about the party. I'm a Vincent guy. I'm a Barrett guy. You know?
Are you a Tifa guy?
Man, Trish, you know I'm a Tifa guy.
Important.
You know I'm a Tifa guy.
Important.
You know that.
Tifa's my home girl.
It was uncomfortable to meet Trisha Hershberger for the first time. Because I'm such a Tifa guy.
Is that the first time you guys met, when she was cosplaying?
No. She doesn't have to cosplay. She just looks like Tifa. It's unsettling.
I think it was Veronica. I love the Betty and Veronica, you know, assumption with the right here.
Oh, yeah. The
I'll totally be Betty.
Publicity,
if this is like
the publicity image that y'all sent out for the show today is hilarious, because it looks like the cover of a Betty and Veronica comic. And
I'm so about that.
I'm in like a little circle up here, and I feel like it's like a Betty and Veronica comic, and it's like, also this issue, Jughead eats too many burgers.
Again? Oh.
All right, now I want to ask you if that means that everybody's watching Riverdale, but this is playing, so let's save that for later.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. So it sounds like we're all kind of in the same playing boat with this one, Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm only just downloaded. Trisha's got 3 hours in. Anthony's got 10 hours in on this game. I've never heard of Control, though, so I'm pretty interested to check that out.
The best. So good. The best.
If you got a PC that can trace those rays, oh, if you can trace those rays, there's like, so many rays.
Oh, why would I need to trace the rays when you're just bringing them into this stream?
Look at this. This is ray tracing turned on my webcam. This is what it looks like with ray tracing. If you get an NVIDIA 2000 series card or a 1000 series card with the updates, you can trace rays like this webcam, and it's beautiful.
I'll take your word for it.
It's honestly one of the prettiest games I've ever seen in my life. If you have a PC that can run with ray tracing.
How did it fly under the radar that much?
It's wild to me.
Like, it didn't even have that much competition apart from Untitled Goose Game, but like that was more of like a for the
look, man, that Goose Game is real good though.
What
I think I had a dream about it last night.
Yeah, you ain't never had a dream about Control, but we'll dream about that goose, you know what I mean?
Oh, look, a goose.
He's taken my ribbon. Yeah, I think critics really loved Control and were really all about this game. But I think number one, they decided to really push a lot of technology with it. And so they really, really touted like the ray tracing technology on high-end video cards when they were talking about it. And people were just like, I don't have that shit. I can't do that. Am I still going to like this game? And then I think there was just Q4 last year was just so jam-packed with big releases that I think it just, as a new IP, it got lost. You know what I mean? It wasn't a sequel. It's not a familiar protagonist.
Well, and it was up against Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. It was up against Death Stranding. Like, there were a lot of really good games last year that were much more in the, you know, public eyesight than Control was. I knew about Control because for the past 2 years at E3, every time I saw a demo for it, because I went in because it was Remedy, and I'm now a big fan of Remedy games, thanks to Anthony originally introducing me to Alan Wake, I went in to those E3 demos and it was like behind closed door, untitled new Remedy game. And from the very second that I saw that the protagonist, A, was a chick, B, was the director of this really cool, like undercover, you know, Federal Bureau of Investigation, C, that she had superhero powers on top of it all. So it wasn't just a straight shooter. So I was like, oh man, because I stink at shooters, but this game looks so cool lore wise. But you can unload a whole clip on somebody, and if you missed with every single shot, then you just pick up a hunk of concrete and fling it at them with your telekinetic powers. And it is the most satisfying feeling in the whole universe. And I fell in love. And so every year at E3, I'm like, tell me more about Control. So when it finally launched, I was like, give me this game so hard. Plus then it had all the like PC tech nerd stuff going on. So this for me was like the ultimate late. Yeah. I try to keep my streams PC, but really the only thing I can think is it was the ultimate lady gaming boner. I've said it. For me, it was my heart. So I'm very biased, I will admit, because there's a lot of things that appeal specifically to me. But
There are creepy puppet shows.
The Threshold Kids.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm sold. All right. That's our playing. This is Power Up. It stands for playing, watching, reading. Playing is done.
Yes.
Watching will be next.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Yay. Okay, folks that are watching this live on Twitch, don't worry, we're not going anywhere. That's just a little sign-off that we do when this gets ported to YouTube later. So now, I want to take a moment to thank all of the folks who subscribed and followed and all this stuff during this stream, because you're amazing. So let's see how far back we have to go. Not that far. We are about 40 minutes in. So let's see. Childish Sambino 420, Natural Born Semi Pro Gamer, Joyful Teddy Bear, Man Gushman, KK, those are all follows. Thank you so much for the follows. KK got it going on, resubbed for 6 months. Happy half subiversary. And KK got it going on through a shout out to Control. Said, from getting scared watching Control to crying during Ori, it's been great, and I'm grateful for you in this amazing Dragon Rider community. Hearts, thank you. Yeah, Anthony can use this time to make sure he's not disappearing into the heavens.
Bye.
Garth Bye. McMurray, thank you for the sub. Nathan Swap, thank you for the follow. Tim W753, thank you for the follow as well. False Alarm Fire Truck, thank you for the sub with Twitch Prime, as well as Tim W753, thank you for the sub with Prime. You're amazing. Benedict Sasquatch, VPL Chin. thank you all for the follows. Backsorn, thank you for
the
cheering.
The Cape Cod Sasquatches?
Sasquatch. Yeah. Backsorn, thank you for the bits. Sir Nicholas 777, thank you for the follow. And Smokron, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the Dragon Riders. So those are all the alerts that would have normally popped up on screen, and you would have heard lots of Wayne John going, "We are building an army!" sound alerts. But we don't want to interrupt Power Up again when it's in podcast version. Which, Maude, where can people listen to the podcast version?
anywhere you find your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all of those there. If you just look up Geek Bomb, there is a second one where it's like Geek Bomb the Archives. That's stuff that I used to do back in 2013, 14, and 15. So look for the newer label. It's just Geek Bomb. You can see previous episodes of Fungins on there. And, of course, last week's episode of this. So give that a follow, sub, whatever you need to do if you like the audio version.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Well, we're running a little long today, but it's not stopping us. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. So let's go ahead and take it into the W of Power Up, the watching. And here we go.
Yes, it is time for watching. We have been doing a lot of watching because we are at home streaming. Sup, Maud Garrett here, joined by Trisha Hershberger.
Hi.
What you watching? We actually thought we'd take this episode every other week. We get a guest on to ask them what they're watching. If you want to know what Trisha and I have been up to, check out the previous episode. But for now, Anthony Carboni, hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hey. How are you, sir?
So good. So very good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for being on the show. I want to hear all about what you've been watching now that we are all sheltering in place and in isolation. Let's check it out.
So much good new TV, so many wonderful things to watch, and I'm just rewatching old stuff over and over again. I've started rewatching Community. The whole series is on Netflix here in the States as of April 1st. And dang, I remembered loving Community, but the first two seasons of Community, perfect television, perfect comedy.
Wow.
So good. I love it so much. Have you all watched through it before?
2012 was when I was first introduced to Community, and I hit the ground running on a big binge that I was actually doing when I was visiting America on one of my big first Do I Want to Move Here trips. So I think that's kind of lovely. I have an issue with Chevy Chase trying to fit into the integration of it all. I kind of wish they kept it a little bit younger and maybe even had like Yvette's character be like the eldest one. But as far as a ensemble cast, I feel like there's such great balance with everyone. You get so many extremes, but it just works together in this melting pot. And it's so well written. There's a lot of pop culture references, which I'm so about. They had a Dungeons and Dragons episode, and we can thank Dan Harmon for that one.
Yep.
I'm so keen to get stuck back into this. I have a massive Joel McHale crush, but like, I am human.
I will double down on the crush for sure. Again, you're human, I'm human, we're all, Anthony's human, I'm sure we can all feel that part of it. I have only ever watched a few episodes of Community. I never like binge watched or watched a whole season or anything, but what I did watch, I enjoyed.
Here's the thing, it suffers from what I call the Bugs Bunny syndrome, which is really kind of brilliant comedies that are a little wacky, like a little surreal. After three or four seasons, they eventually turn into a Bugs Bunny cartoon. All of the characters become like these like broad caricatures of themselves. The world becomes wackier and wackier. You see it a lot in things like 30 Rock. You see it in later seasons of The Office, stuff like that, where things become less grounded. So if you dipped in during those seasons, it's still funny. It's still good. It was still better than most things on TV. But those first two seasons are utterly brilliant. And, you know, the Russo brothers, that's where they got their start as directors. They were doing like TV direct. They were directing like almost every episode of Community. And when you watch back knowing what they've done since, it's crazy to watch every single episode they directed. That is, it's Dan Harmon, right? So it's just like, it's like a Rick and Morty or something like that, where every episode is sort of satirizing something we all know and recognize, whether it's a movie genre, a TV episode, a type of character, something from pop culture. And the Russo brothers take whatever is thrown at them, and they're like, this episode, we're doing a conspiracy theory, like Paranoid, like 3 Days of the Condor, like whatever. They do it. This one's an action episode. Great. We're directing it like an action movie. We're directing it like a rom-com. And it's just...
But we're calling it paintball.
Right.
Even though it's like full-on action and it's like life or death, but it's just a paintball game. Those episodes are just wonderful.
Oh, so, so brilliant. And the entire cast is just wonderful. Everybody is pitch perfect. I honestly think that Chevy's character for the first two seasons is great. Like, I love that they have this, like, weird privileged baby like baby boomer punching bag that's just awful, you know? And then as they like learn more about him, they're like, oh, it's awful, but it's also sad. Cause that's the other thing. The first two seasons, they're real characters. And so you're like, they all come and they're like, we're misfit like comedy tropes. And then Dan Harmon's like, okay, you know the trope. And now that you know the trope, I'm going to show you the person. And I'm going to deepen these characters.
Ugh. Ugh.
So I just good. Feel like a little bit though, like everyone's so, you know, if you're taking that improv kind of theme, there's so much yes and. And then with him, it was like, no, I hate it. And you're like, ah, just go with.
And I think some of that was also, now that we know the whole story of the production, some of that was Dan Harmon acting out on Chevy Chase. A lot of that was Chevy Chase acting out on Dan Harmon. They hated each other. He was like, Chevy Chase is famously hard to work with. Dan Harmon is famously hard to work with. And so I think they just got into like a real battle of egos that kind of hurt that character, I think, in the long run.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like, I don't think it harmed the series when he left. Let's just say that. Ooh. But I kind of liked the later seasons where they just went balls to the wall. Like they just like rules went out the window. It was just fun. What season was it when they did the every scenario? Like,
oh, when they were ordering pizza? Season three, The Darkest Timeline.
Yes.
Yes. So it's this thing where they roll a dice. They roll die to see who goes downstairs to get the pizza. And Abed, who is like, he starts off as the guy who knows everything about media and is a little on the spectrum, and then just kind of turns into this weird audience surrogate by like season three. But he's like, by rolling that die, you have created six different timelines. And they're all like, shut up, Abed. But then you get to see all six different timelines. That's the kind of show this is.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
I like that. I
mean, he's very on the spectrum, and I love that character because I think that it showcases like what an asset they are in like a group scenarios and what it is that they bring. And because he is, like you were saying, like he's almost on the audience's side. It's like on their team, that he brings so much of what you're thinking to the forefront and like enhances these moments. I think it's hilarious. I saw Nathan Swap saying in there that Annie was the favorite character, but the Dean Pelton.
Oh, Dean Pelton is so good. Dean Pelton is like the best character. He is just this weird guy where it's like, he's this dean who wants to be their friend, and there's something, he's into pageantry and costumes, and like every time they try to get at like what he feels about gender or sexuality, they're like, they'll hint that he's gay, and he's like, oh no, it's not that simple. He's like got so many layers of things going on.
But he's so over the top and flamboyant as well.
How many seasons are there of Community?
Six
seasons and a movie, but we haven't got the movie yet. We're gonna get that movie. We have to.
And Craig, I do want to say that Craig Pelton, the Dean, was played by Jim Rash, who is an Oscar-winning screenwriter. He wrote The Descendants, the George Clooney movie.
He also wrote the Force Majeure American version, Downhill.
Yeah, he wrote Downhill.
And I just interviewed him recently for that, actually.
He was one of the producers on Thoroughbred, which was like a really great Magnolia Films release a couple years ago. And he is he's a voice on Star Wars Resistance. His character and Bobby Moynihan's character, they're the first canonically gay couple in Star Wars.
Oh, that's really cute. Oh, that's
on Star Wars TV.
He also, one other thing. Oh, did the Stranger Things after show as well.
Yes.
I remember like randomly popping up in that. I was like, sure, bud.
He's great. He had a series on IFC that was a screenwriters roundtable that was absolutely, it was either on IFC or the Sundance Channel. If you can find it, track it down, where he would bring on screenwriters and just talk through their scripts with them in a round table of other writers. And it was, he's a brilliant dude, and he throws himself into whatever they throw at him. He's one of those guys who has no shame, has no ego. They're like, you're walking in this time and you're dressed like a giant payday bar and you're going to be rapping about how much you want everybody to love you. And he's like, great, let's go. I'm the only one here with an Oscar at home. What's up?
STS in chat was asking if this is where Brie Larson got her start.
Brie Larson was in a couple things beforehand.
Or, I'm sorry, Allison Brie, not Brie Larson.
But she, okay.
Definitely Allison Brie. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Allison Brie. Brie Larson is in later seasons, but she had done stuff beforehand.
Got it.
She just has popped up in the most random things. Like, the more I will watch something, she's just kind of there. What was one of them? Was she in, like, no, Jessica Alba was in Never Been Kissed. It's, like, something like that where she's just, like, randomly a high school student.
Yeah, she's just in the background of so many things. Me and a friend have Captain Marvel watch. And, like, whenever we see her in something, because she's one of those people that's been working forever, but you would never know. And so every time she pops up in something, I'm like, Captain Marvel watch, Captain Marvel's in this. And we, like, send each other, like, texts about it. Because
you would never know because she, you know, stayed doing smaller roles for so long, or you would never know because she's not a good actress.
No, she was doing smaller roles for so long. And she's one of those people where, like, once they have their big breakout, you can look back and be like, oh, they've been in things forever. They've always been doing stuff.
Brie Larson, I think she kind of suffers a little bit from what I always felt like I suffered as an actor, which is like you walk in the room or in the audition room and there's 60 other girls that kind of look the same as you. And mm-hmm. So not that you're necessarily forgettable, but especially in like a small role, like you will get cast to play like normal girl. People don't always remember normal girl, small role, whereas...
No, that's not true. Listen to me. Normal girl, I remember you. And if you're out there, I've been looking for you. Give me a call. Perfectly normal girl. We met at a deli. You were having just a plain turkey sandwich. I don't know if you remember me, but give me a call.
Nothing else on it.
Perfectly normal. No, she didn't have any. She didn't want any mustard, I remember. And she wanted it on white bread. Perfectly normal girl.
Basis bread we've ever seen.
Yeah. Tim W says, yeah. Hell yeah for normal girl.
She got into her Honda Accord and drove away and I didn't see it.
Well, what color was the Honda Accord?
It was that
no
beige.
No one even knows.
Was that early 2000s beige?
It's only in Los Angeles and movie casting where like Phoebe from Friends is the awkward one. And then you see her in real life and you're like, my God, that woman's stunning.
Yeah.
That's me, the best friend, the quirky one-liners. Oh, girl, I brought the ice cream. You're so much better than that guy.
Can we have you do those lines again, but holding a ukulele and a snow globe? Thanks.
That's me.
Oh, Elliot.
Who would you be typecast as, Anthony? Oh, the funny gay best friend.
Probably funny gay best friend. When I had no beard and glasses, I was definitely like snarky IT nerd.
Yeah, nerdy white guys, I feel like what you always get cast as, Anthony.
Yeah, there would be I remember my dad once when I was still auditioning a lot for acting is my dad saw an episode of the TV show Chuck. I remember him texting me and he was like, hey, I'm watching this show Chuck. I was like, yeah. He's like, you could do this. You could be in this. I was like, oh, thanks, Dad. And my dad's like, yeah, he's got this nerdy best friend that works with him at the Best Buy. And you'd be perfect. And I was like, eat shit, Dad!
Oh, my God. Is that the male epitome of always the bridesmaid, never the bride?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Ooh.
100%.
I
was going to say, I think now I would be like, I would be like the guidance counselor. Or like the public defender who goes against the main character that's the DA. Like a public defender in like a shitty corduroy suit, you know?
I don't agree with that last one. The first one, for sure. I feel like I've got another technically 5 years according to Hollywood, but I can't wait to be like the embarrassing mom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wine mom is the part that you were born to play.
Thank you. I feel seen.
I want that for you. I want you to be Hollywood's biggest wine mom.
Yes.
Gold.
Agreed. It'd be like Maude Garrett, Cersei Lannister, you know, right out there. Wine mom.
I'm going to take over this entire kingdom, and I'm going to be shit-faced the entire time.
Perfect.
Yeah, good. Cool. That's an addition. Shish, what are you watching if you haven't really seen Community? And are you interested in Community at all?
I'm definitely interested in Community. It's that age-old problem of so many amazing things out there to watch on television right now that you can't pick just one. And for me, I tend to lean harder into more fandom stuff. So, like, if it's like, oh, I could go back and watch Community or The Witcher's on... Or I could go back and watch Community or Lock and Key's a new series. Or I could go back and watch, like, for me, if there's a sci-fi or fantasy or a comic something out there, I will probably choose that if given the option. Now, that being said, I just randomly binged this week because Nate said someone at work told him it was good. I randomly binged I Am Not Okay With This, and I was like, well, you know what? It's based on a graphic novel, so that I will go for it with that. It was above average okay. Right. I wouldn't say it was, like, the best thing I've ever seen, but it's only 6 episodes, and they're, like, less than a half hour each. They're 22 to 25 minutes each, so you can get through it pretty quick. And there were definitely some funny moments. There were definitely some standout performances. The lead, I forget the actress's name right now, but she is making waves everywhere just based on, like, her this appearance, and there was something else she was in right before that. Here, wait, I'm going to look it up real quick.
Move over, Brie Larson. We've got the other girl who's been working for ages, and now people may know her name.
Check out this normal girl.
Not everyone. Yeah.
Have either of you seen I Am Not Okay With This?
No. I feel like I'm being marketed to very hard by Netflix for it because of my taste.
So it's so very, very 80s nostalgia. If you like John Hughes movies, if you like 80s nostalgia anything, you will appreciate the way certain scenes are shot in this. They definitely have overt, like, oh, that's Breakfast Club references and stuff like that, where they're kind of recreating parts of movies. Her name is Sophia Lillis. That is the actress's name who plays the lead. And she was also in... she was in It and It
and
Chapter 2.
Either.
I'm a little, like... The tank is full on 80s nostalgia, I think.
Well, then it might not be for you. It's quick, it's bingeable. I would give it a 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bad. Great. If you're looking for something, it's a quick, easy fix. Maude, what are you watching?
A lot. It's my job at the moment, so I kind of want to fill you guys in on what is happening out there. Parasite has just come out on Hulu. If you haven't seen Parasite, along with a lot of Bong Joon-ho's other, I think, four or five other films. Yes. Light that bong and go watch Hulu. If you have not seen Parasite, don't look it up. Don't find out what it's about. Just watch it. It's incredible. It got Best Picture at the Oscars. I mean, like,
it's my favorite movie of last year.
It's so good, guys. So that one's on Hulu, which is fantastic for them. There's another series that is coming out on HBO on Sunday night, and it's got a great cast. I have the most outrageous crush on Donald Gleason. I can't explain it, so don't make me, but there's just something I'm like morbidly attracted to him.
You've told me about this before. You've told me about this before.
Like, it renders me speechless for some reason. But Renders you speechless. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the accent. I think I like Irish accents.
Okay.
But it's him and not quite Brie Larson. So it's an actress that kind of looks like it could have been Brie Larson's sister. I think her name is Merritt. She's in it. They've got great chemistry. The premise, the genre kind of changes. But basically, these two were high school sweethearts. They haven't seen each other in over 15 years, but they had this pact that if at any time you text run and the other one texts run back, you meet at a train and you jump on this train all the way across country and you spend this time together. And so that's what they've done. And they've kind of left their lives behind. But you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it starts off as like this romance, but then it really quickly changes because you learn about their past and maybe what they're running away from. So that's my recommendation as well. Out of all the things that I've been watching, and trust me, I've been watching a stack, that one I think stood out to me.
What was the name of that one again?
Run.
Perfect.
Run. Like Laura Dern when she's like in Jurassic Park, you know?
Right. If you need a mnemonic device to remember the word run, think about Laura Dern in Jurassic Park.
I struggle to say run normally. I have to say run. I just realized that when you asked the name of it, and I went, run. Oh, no.
It did have an urgency where I was like, yeah. Me now?
Yeah. Like, I should not play this game with anyone, because if they say run, I'm like, I'm dressed up as Ellie Sattler, and I'm out of there limping. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so there's some great watching recommendations. Let us know in the comments what you are watching, what you are loving. If you've seen anything that we have mentioned as well, let's get the playlists and cues happening because we got time, guys, nothing but time. Anthony, thank you for sharing your watching with us this week. Really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
Yay, thank you, Anthony.
Maybe next time I'll be watching something from this decade. Who can say?
Or something
Laura Dern.
You know. gives us an impression of the 80s. All right, thank you guys. Let's see, I don't have as many shout outs in between this time. Let's see, Mr. Grim Reaper 3456, thank you for the follow and the sub. I appreciate it. Welcome the Dragon Riders. Monkey D came and Jake Hinkover and Nerdstack. Yes, I think.
No, I'm being very rude. What is their name? Monkey C came?
Jake Hink of Air. Or Monkey D came. And Nerdstack. All thank you. Thank you all so much for the follows. If you are new to my Twitch community, you get dragon skills for every minute that you hang out here that you can trade in for cool prizes after a while. And you're all welcome on the Discord if you want to hang out on the Discord. And if you sub, you're twice as likely to win in giveaways, which I've got a Final Fantasy VII giveaway coming up on Sunday if you want a deluxe edition of the game. So get on up in that. Everyone's eligible, but subs have an extra raffle ticket. So just putting that out there before we move on into the reading section of the show.
Ooh, you guys ready? We are so over, but we'll burn through the rest of this. It's going to be fun. Okay. It is time for reading. This is the PWR part of Power Up, where we talk about what we've been reading. Last week, Trisha and I divulged into all the things that we were reading. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check that out, that's in the episode. This week, though, we have a guest. Anthony Carboni is joining us to talk about what he's currently reading. Now, reading can be comic books. It can be books. We can discuss all of that kind of stuff. So let's get into it. Anthony, how you going? What's your reading?
I am reading The Girl from the Other Side, which is a manga that's on, I think, volume 9 here in the States has been translated, and it is, it's the editorial team that created the Ancient Magus's Bride. So if you've watched that anime last year, which was very popular, they're the same team that created that, and this is this, like, really beautiful fantasy series where there is an inside and an outside. An inside is the city and you're safe in the city, and in the outside it's danger. Everybody has been turning into monsters, and if a monster touches you, you too turn into a monster.
Just touches you? Not even bites like zombies?
Nope. If they touch you, you turn into a monster. And it's about this girl, Shiva, who lives in the outside with a monster that she calls Teacher. She never touches him. She never touches him, and he can't touch her. You can see, like, on the cover, she's like running around. She looks like she's grabbing him, but she's like grabbing onto his clothes. She can never touch him directly, and for whatever reason, Teacher still has his human mind. And he's trying to raise her.
How did that happen?
Unclear at the beginning of the story, and so I don't want to give it away. But she calls him Teacher. She doesn't really remember much about where she comes from, only that her aunt is supposed to come for her. And he knows by being on the outside that her aunt is not coming from her. If a person is put on the outside, it's because it's believed that they are going to be turning into a monster. And even though she was put outside, it looks like wrongfully, they won't take her back. And so he's trying to raise her. And it's a really beautiful series. It gives me a lot of vibes of, like, The Ancient Magus' Bride, obviously, but also, like, if you're somebody who really loves things like Ico or Shadow of the Colossus in terms of games and aesthetic and storytelling, it's also, like, even though this is a very intense story, it's told like a domestic fairy tale, right?
What? Wow. Like, I've got so many questions.
This looks so good, but also so creepy. Is it creepy?
It can be creepy in moments, for sure. Maybe, like, another thing that I think it's pretty close to is Over the Garden Wall, if you remember that cartoon, where it's, like, it's funny and adorable and sweet, but there is definitely, like, an undercurrent of horror the entire time. It's real lovely.
Hold on, how did you stumble across this?
I was at my local comic book shop, Secret Headquarters, the SHQ, over on the east side of LA. Shout out. And they recommend things to me all the time. I was buying almost everything on the stands a couple years ago when Trish and I were hosting that show for Comic-Con HQ. I just started reading all comic books. And then I paired it back, But they know my taste now. And like when I walked in, Julie, who works there, was like, Anthony, I put this aside for you. You're going to fucking love it. And I was like, she was like, this is for you. And I was like, okay, I'm into it. Let's go.
What's it called again?
It's called The Girl from the Other Side. And it is on, you can get it in volumes right now. This is one of the ones where like, even if you read most of your comics digitally, I would recommend grabbing this one as a physical. It's, you know, it's the smaller, like manga style, like quarterly book. And it's just really beautiful art. And it's like lovely to hold it in your hands and see the detail, but it is out on Comixology as well.
Okay, great. Do you know in this time that we can't go to our local comic book store and just pick up a physical copy? I would check your local comic book stores and see if they ship, if they will ship you something, or if they will have someone drop off like contactless delivery bag-o comics at your door on Tuesdays. That would be great.
Yeah, support local businesses if you can.
Yeah, a lot of them are doing that right now. I know the Secret Headquarters is doing that right now too, where like you can hit them up and like roll by and pick up a stack of books, or they'll deliver them.
Yeah, I'm like freaking out because I can't find somewhere in the move. I can't find my first three volumes of Lock and Key. I have 4, 5, and 6, but I don't have one. I have them all digitally, but I want them in print for my bookshelf. And I can only find volumes 4, 5, and 6 in my house. So I'm like, I'm wondering, like, did I lend them? Anthony, did I lend you volumes 1, 2, and 3 of Lock and Key?
No, no. Okay.
Maybe you should have kept them under Lock
don't.
And Key.
Don't.
Well done, Maud.
No, but I think you were the person who recommended it to me, though, and I definitely like bought it immediately.
Yeah, because it's so good.
It is. I can't believe you're missing those volumes. It's part of your... I don't know. They come close.
I like your puns, Maud.
Puns don't kill people.
I like your puns, Maud.
Thank you. This looks really interesting, though. I'm not super into manga. I know that, like... some people are like super into comic books, graphic novels, manga, it falls under that. I like to read or listen to books at the moment, but I really like sort of the premise here. I'm always a little bit confused by sort of like a strange adult raising a young girl, like that dynamic. Can you actually just talk through that dynamic for me and just like, you know, how that relationship works? Because it obviously sounds like this monster with a human brain is protecting the young one.
Yes, she's definitely, he's definitely protecting her. They live in like a little house. And he watches over her, and basically, like, he knows that there are monsters out there. He's trying to give her some sort of type of normalcy. He's also very worried about what's going to happen to him over time and his condition, obviously. But it's definitely very much, she calls him teacher for a reason. It's a teacher-student relationship. And he's just like, I'm just taking care of you until your aunt comes. You know what I mean? Even though
he knows
that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Aww. That sounds okay, cool. Trisha, I think you and I are reading the same book at the moment.
Are we?
Say what?
Because you're reading it for Nerdist Book Club, aren't you?
Yes.
I just reread it for Tolkien Reading Day. It was Tolkien Reading Day at the end of March. So I read a snippet of it for a Tolkien Reading Day celebration, and that inspired me to read the whole thing because it's a quick read. It's a fun, quick read, so you can buzz through it pretty quick. And since I consider myself a real-life hobbit, for sure, and so much of my life is based around Lord of the Rings and Tolkien literature,
your WikiFeet score is too high for you to be a hobbit.
What's too high?
Your WikiFeet score.
Yeah.
Only because of laser hair removal. Otherwise, real-life hobbit.
Real-life hobbit. Trisha Hershberger, real life hobbit.
Yeah, totally. Well,
I guess that makes me what, one of the elves?
Oh, you would definitely be an elf.
Yeah, you're an
thank
elf.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Welcome to my forest. We like to make things. We're very important. Yeah, okay. I can get behind that. I have actually never read Tolkien before. Fun fact
what?
About me. In high school, I hated reading because I was made to read and then dissect it and then write, you know, sent 10 pages on the thematic breakdowns on books. And so I really had a bad relationship with them. As soon as high school finished, I wanted to learn to read and love reading. And so I got Fellowship of the Ring. 3 pages in, it was like a flower blossomed out of the page because it was such flourishing words and usage of words that I was like, oh, not today. And I just never ended up reading them. and just read everything else instead.
What did Maud say to the Fellowship of the Ring? Not today.
Yeah, right. But with The Hobbit, like, it really does have, like, children fairy tale-esque language behind it. And the author refers to himself in the first person, which for me is so bothersome, but I'll tell you more about that later. Who are you? How are you telling me this? Like, why is this about you?
This storyteller, Maud, it's like Princess Bride. There's a storyteller.
No, it's Peter Falk. Like, that makes sense. I get that. But
even in the novel, it's Peter Falk telling the story.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't like that about it. But and like, you know, here's 13 dwarf names and 7 of them rhyme. Cool. And I'm just like, so this will be a very interesting read, but it is going to be oh, there you go. He wrote it for his children. Thank you, the Doublethink Press. That makes a lot of sense to me now. I think I've also got a bit of taste in my mouth because the Hobbit should not have been 3 movies.
No. No.
And the more I'm reading this, the more desperate I am to see what, like, has someone done a 1 movie edit? Have they just...
Oh, yes. There are 1 movie edits that exist online. I can't believe they made it 3 movies and still cut out Tom Bombadil.
Yeah. Where was Tom Bombadil?
Where was Tom Bombadil? Maud, have you gotten Bombadil yet?
Don't worry. You just get to Tom Bombadil and everything's going to be okay.
I wish Tom Bombadil was like in Cats, because that I like the name Bombadil. He sounds like he's about to drop a fat track down. Give me a beat. It's Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil. You know, friend of all three of us and the show, Steve Zaragoza, has been trying to get the internet to trend Steve for Tom Bombadil because he so desperately wants to play Bombadil in something at some point.
Dude, but Tom Bombadil, he does drop rhymes, he dances, he's a showman, Tom Bombadil, and he's so much more. I can't wait for you to meet Tom Bombadil. Ugh.
I'm totally going to picture Steve Zaragoza in this role now.
You should! Hey, it's perfect!
What percentage of Steve Zaragoza is also Hobbit, would you say, Trisha, as a fellow Hobbit?
Oh, Steve is quite Hobbity, for sure. Yeah, Steve is quite Hobbity. He's got round features. He's not a super tall dude. He is on the hairy side, and he's happy all the time. Steve is
very
a Hobbit.
Very friendly. He's very friendly. And now that he's very into ponchos, I just see him even more as a Hobbit. He's so into ponchos now.
Well, I mean, as a skirt wearer, he's just finally understood the luxuries of a crutch breeze.
Sure.
Sure.
I would call it Hobbit bounding.
Ooh.
He's Hobbit bounding.
That's a whole lot better than what I said, so there you go. Anthony, where would you fall? Are you an Uruk-hai, or are you more of a Hobbit, or are you an elf?
I feel like as a pretty boring average white guy, I'd probably just wind up a human.
Don't sell yourself short. At least be a Numenorean.
Sure. Normal guy. Just normal starring guy. Anthony, what's his name?
Just looking for a normal woman with a turkey sandwich. Where is she?
You're a Numenorean, Anthony.
Sure.
We'll
call me that.
Humans for the non... human, human-like for the non-Tolkien people out there.
Yeah.
Aragorn.
Sure. Sure. Very noble. That's who I am. Super noble.
The only problem is, if you play a human, you just don't get dark vision. And, you know, when you're doing dungeon crawls, it's really difficult because then you have to have a torch all the time.
No decent buffs at all.
That's not true. Numenoreans live for a really long time. Not quite as long as elves, but much longer than what the normal human lifespan would be.
How old am I going to be?
You're an elf. Forever, girl.
Yeah.
I live forever?
Not forever, ever.
Forever.
I mean, just ask forever, Orlando Bloom, not forever.
Okay. All right. Cool. I feel like
I'd like to be a wizard.
There you go.
That would be cool.
There it is. You wanted to be normal, and now you found your truth.
No, I mean, I think I would be normal, but I would like to be a wizard.
Has anyone met a normal wizard? Actually, has anyone met a wizard? Because that's a great conversation that I'd like to start with. But then let's get into the nitty-gritties of the fact that a normal wizard would not exist.
It's true.
I'll ask random people, just like, you know, on the down, like real quiet, like real stuff. Are you a wizard?
Nathan Swap says wizard? Anthony the Blue you're Wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what? You don't have the sun. The blue. Why? Because he blew it?
Turn around. Turn around for 10 seconds. You can turn back in 10 seconds.
Don't scold her. This is Maude's show. Guest.
This is Maude's show.
Guest, Anthony. This is Maude and Trish's show.
Yeah.
You get out of here with your pun hate.
Wait a second.
She Sir. Did it.
Not she enough magic it. In the world. All right, guys, let us know what you're reading, any reading recommendations. If you are also reading The Hobbit, which version of Audible are you listening to? Because there's about 7. One of them goes for 11 and a half hours. One of them goes for 4 hours. So I'm so confused. There's a couple of dramatized versions of it, but
But just enjoy it. Enjoy the heck out of it, all right, y'all?
I'm crying. I just want to play Final Fantasy VII is my problem.
Well, you'll get to that. You'll
all
get to
the
that.
All time in the world. Well, there you go. We have reading recommendations there. We've got, this is our first time, actually, you're our first guest, but a manga recommendation, something that I don't usually come across. So that was really important to me. Anthony, where can people find more of you?
Oh my gosh, you can listen to the podcast We Have Concerns. Just go to a podcast app or scream out a window to a bird, We Have Concerns, and that's how you subscribe. I also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/AnthonyCarboni, and we're in a bit of a production downtime, but you can catch me on the official Star Wars YouTube channel for the Star Wars show. That's just youtube.com/Star Wars.
What you playing on Twitch?
Right now I'm playing Control, baby, and Animal Crossing.
I still have
for Animal Crossing.
I still have the ocarina that you gave me in Animal Crossing. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But my, I just you know the camel, I believe it is. That's like
Sahara.
Hey,
yeah.
Do you want to maybe get some mystery wallpaper? Yeah. My house is now a swamp. I got swamp flooring, and so now it looks like I literally do shit in the woods.
Yeah. I have a whole room in my house that's a dump. It's a literal garbage dump. There's
gross.
A trash fire in it.
What are you, like, garbage pail kids or something?
It just, she gave me a trash wallpaper and I found a trash, like, floor covering and I built a trash fire in a pile of tires. It's amazing.
You know, 2 years from now, I'm finally going to get into this Animal Crossing game and everyone else is not going to be playing anymore. And I won't be able to trade with anyone or visit anybody.
Yeah, no, I think I'm already over it. I just want to, I want someone to come into my house and decorate for me. I just don't care. Like, I've been running around without pants on for half this game at this stage because I just don't care.
Life, it's art imitating life, Maudie.
Is that why you built a trash fire?
It's life imitating art. You're just like, somebody come in and decorate my house for me and I refuse to put on pants. If you
so
can run
good.
Around, you know, you can run around with a glass of what they call vacation juice in Animal Crossing.
Ooh.
How do you get that? What's the?
Is it a pina colada?
It basically, it looks like a tropical drink, but they don't call it alcohol because it's Nintendo. And so you can get vacation juice. I don't know how to get it yet. I don't know.
I need me some vacation juice. That's
but
for sure.
A pantsless mod running around with vacation juice in a house where she just wants somebody to clean and decorate it for her is maybe the ultimate real-life simulation.
Yeah. Okay, no wonder I can't stand this game and just want to get into Final Fantasy. This makes a lot of sense. Final Fantasy. Fantasy. Not reality.
It's going to be so good. I'm so excited to finish Final Fantasy. I'm sorry. I'm like, I kind of want to play Animal Crossing, but also Final Fantasy VII, which is what happens to me with a lot of the recommendations that we talk about in the show. I'm like, yes, that looks interesting, but also this other thing I've been obsessed with for years that I haven't gotten to yet. You know, it's a good time to be into fandom stuff, guys. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Oh, is Maude going to stream Final Fantasy VII Remake? Probs. Not. I like to play video games for me. I share so much already. Speaking of, we were supposed to do 2 more segments after this, but we have run incredibly over. Trish, it's your call. Do you want to do one, the other, drop them both? It's your channel.
You know what? Let's go ahead and do a quick bombs away Q&A. How's that sound?
Just drop them. Just drop them both.
We're going to do a speed round then.
Yeah,
it's
speed round, bombs away Q&A.
If you know the last time you put on pants or brushed your teeth, you're a cop. We don't need to do every segment.
No, we don't. We make the rules. We make the
right.
rules here.
And we break those rules. Alrighty, we've got a couple of questions for Bombs Away. If you want to get them in, if you're watching live, you can absolutely do that. Trish is going to catch those in the chat. But those geek bombers have submitted their questions already on the Patreon. Justin Johnson, answer as quickly as possible, please, people. Do you think the increase in both streaming and posting video content because of the pandemic will continue after things calm down, or even encourage more distance collaboration using services such as Zoom, Google Meeting, etc.? Very interesting time for the tech world indeed. Your thoughts in 10 seconds or less.
I definitely think so, yes.
I think that there will be more collaboration in offices and workplace as a whole, but I do think we'll watch content creation spin back down to a slightly more regular volume, something more like we were used to before the pandemic.
Internet can't handle this, so hopefully everyone just kind of calms down a little bit. But I make content content for a living, so
there we go. All right, I got a question from Syntex Chair in Twitch chat. Says Potter House is for the host. Ravenclaw.
Slytherin.
Gryffindor. Love that question. Ollie Mawson says,
I was just about to flick you off on camera and I realized I shouldn't do that on your stream.
But know that I was about to do it, Maud.
Why?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindorable?
Get out of here. House of the Snake.
Oh.
STS says, be honest, Maud. People think you're not Gryffindor right now.
My God, I've taken the test like 15 times. I think I've got 3 or 4 different accounts on Pottermore. One time in 2016, it put me in Slytherin, all right? But every other time, Gryffindor. There is not even like 14 letters in Gryffindor that I could substitute one of the letters for one in Slytherin.
It's a thin line between Gryffindor and Slytherin. That's all.
And you know, there's a lot of Twitch chat that's live right now is saying that Maud's a Slytherin. In their estimation.
She's definitely a Gryffindor.
You know what? The hat takes your choice into consideration, Maud. And if you're feeling Gryffindor, Gryffindor it is.
Yeah, I just think the chat thinks it's the sorting hat when it's not. But that's something Slytherin would say. So I wouldn't say that because I'm an elf. You know, I'm an elf now. Not a house elf. Ah! Next question. Ollie Mawson says, if you're ever feeling down or a bit stressed, what's your happy place, film, show, or game that you put on to cheer yourself up?
Anything Zelda? Blade Runner, and there's a Stone Road, the first Stone Roses album that's just called The Stone Roses.
All right. Shish.
The Never Ending Story. It makes me very happy.
Even though it's so sad.
Yeah, but it's so good. It's about the underdog protagonist saving dreams for the whole world.
Ah, that's lovely. Buffy has been doing it for me. I've been doing a rewatch for a few months now. It's so good. I just like it. Women kicking butt. You got a question?
Yes. STS2884 in Twitch chat says, question, what's your lightsaber color?
Purple. 2 of them.
Ooh.
And they're like Asajj Ventress's blade. So mm-hmm. It's got a curved hilt.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Oh, man.
I've thought about this a lot.
It's either, I mean, look, here's the thing. It's either red or it's blue. And I go back and forth day to day.
Do you know what that is? Purple. Red and blue is
purple. But it's not purple. Purple is a totally different thing. My lightsaber would either be red or blue.
Got it.
Why don't you do dual combat and have red and blue? And if you're feeling in a good mood, you're jutting with the blue one. If you're just feeling a little evil, get the red one out.
Just Grievous it, you know what I mean? Just have a whole bunch of them ready to go.
I think mine would be blue. I think blue.
Yeah, I see that.
Trish, you're a yellow. You're a gold for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're gold.
True. Yeah, Trish is sunshine. Trish is sunshine.
You're definitely gold.
Okay, I'll take it.
Seb X says, how was making your home studio? Are you happy with the setup, the ups and downs from working from home?
My home studio was pretty set up.
Yeah. Hers looks perfect. I'm not happy with my camera. I'm not happy with my internet and how potato-y it makes me look. I feel like I still got a little bit to go. And this
I think I really nailed the lighting in mine.
It's otherworldly. Do you have any more questions?
Okay, yes. Let's see. Here, wait. I did have one more, and it just got away with me because chat is going a little bit too fast. Let me see. It was a good one, too. I'm going to find it. Oh, here. Fluffy Squirrel says, question, what's the most comfortable video game controller?
Comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount I've been playing, I have played Xbox. I get blisters sometimes. Like, it gets sore.
I would say the Xbox Elite Series.
Yeah. I think the heft and, like, the actual, like, feeling in the hand of an Xbox controller I like the best of an Xbox One, but I like, I do wind up playing PlayStation more. But I like the, whenever I play my Xbox, I'm like, ooh.
Well, yeah. Anthony, you must be so excited about the PS5 controller then, because it's an Xbox controller.
Well, I mean, look, at this
mixed
point.
Mixed in with Eve from WALL-E.
I mean, at this point in time, like, all controllers that aren't a PlayStation controller are basically, like, because here's the Nintendo Pro controller. I have, like, a third-party controller. Like, they're all kind of, like, turning into one controller layout. And I do think there are some interesting changes to the PS5 one, where I wonder how comfortable it is in the hand with that weird, like, batarang point that it comes down to on the grips. I can't wait. I can't wait to actually see what this thing is like.
I'm with you on that. Classy Librarian, maybe we'll do one last one. Classy Librarian says, D&D classes for the host. Not the class you play the most, but I'm going to give a little disclaimer. The class you think you are most like in real life.
Rogue.
I kind of want you to tell us what we would be.
Ooh. I don't know. I think me personally is closest to a mage because I love to do fun, fantastical things, but it's never something that comes inherently. It's something I work really hard for. So I have to study. I have to memorize my spells. Mage.
I see you, Trish, definitely in the magical arts, but I definitely see you more as a cleric. You're such a little ray of sunshine. You're such a little healer.
Because I was going to say I play assassin a lot. I would have thought that I was, you know, in the rogue-esque side of things. But then I would have thought, nah, at the end of the day, I'm probably a cleric because I put other people before me a lot and help them.
Yeah, Maude, I don't know that I would give you rogue because I feel like if someone's going to be a rogue in real life, that I'm thinking people that are, like, into gymnastics or karate or have, like, a very high real-life dexterity. You know, and I say this in the most loving way ever because you know I trip over myself and walk into walls all the time. So that is not a slight. I'm just saying I don't see you as like the dexterity is your highest stat, which is what I think of for rogue.
Oh, we're doing. So you're saying that you're really smart, Trisha?
No, I'm saying I work really hard. I memorize things real well.
I know, that was just a slight, sorry, that was actually, oh, wait a second. I'm a bard.
Yeah!
Yeah, you're a bard.
Yeah, I'm a bard.
I think most of Australia is a bard.
Oh, I love that.
you're a real bard college.
Okay, all right, I'll do bard.
Yeah.
I'll be unbardable.
I like that. Anthony?
I definitely think I think I'm probably a rogue, but you're right about the dexterity. Personality-wise, I'm definitely more rogue. But,
you could be a high charisma rogue, and you just kind of like main intimidation and persuasion.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
That probably is right.
Not intimidation. No. Persuasion.
Are you kidding? I got you to turn around in your chair on your own show.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Maybe you're very persuasive. Yeah. Okay.
This is why you need the cleric here to be like, cut it out, sir. Let's be nice to everybody.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to tell everyone about it. I'm going to put it into a song and your name will be tarnished for Ayamabad. Yeah. Great questions. Thank you so much to all the Dragon Riders and the Bomberbackers who are participating in these power-ups single week. It's so cool. Anthony Carboni, thank you so much for being our first guest for Power Up Guest Edition.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for the chat. I've been keeping my keen eye on you the whole time. There was a pixie blast that went down or something like that. What was that, Trisha?
I think you got raided.
Oh, yeah, we got raided. So I gave a shout out in chat, but thank you if any of the folks who came from a Style Pixies raid are still here. You guys are awesome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you so much, a Style Pixie, for the raid. You are the best. I miss you. I hope we get to work together at some point in the future. A Style Pixie, Anthony, we met her sister at the Grammys after party we went to together. Remember?
Yes.
She was like, you know my sister.
Couple.
Yes.
Where Trisha took the best photo of you ever, but you thought you took a really good photo of her.
Oh, he took a nice photo of me too, but I also took the best photo of Anthony at that party.
Oh, yeah. I took some good photos of Trish. I like to think that I'm a pretty good Instagram boyfriend.
Yeah.
But Trish fucking nailed it. Like, definitely
took,
like, best
photo. I think we used it for this. Yeah, it's still your profile picture.
Yeah, it's very good.
What's a photographer version of D&D? What is that? You captured the essence of something, maybe? Anyway, I
don't know.
D&D.
Maybe a bard, because bard writes stuff down and, like, remembers it in ballads.
Yeah.
That would be the closest. But I want to throw out a huge thank you again to Estyle Pixie for the raid. You're amazing. Thank you so much. I gave a shout out in chat, but we didn't verbally say it, so now I'm verbally saying it. And thank you to all of Estyle Pixie's raiders. Welcome. Thank you for the follow to Light Raya, Jay Huguet. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Super Ordinary, Matt Stuck in the Moon Goo, Ishilokos, and K Ward Jenks. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the follows. Welcome. Thank you to everybody who hung out. This was really, really fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Yay. Sorry we ran a little bit over, but it's been so, so great.
I'm not sorry.
No, you shouldn't be.
I'm not sorry. I enjoyed every minute
next
of it.
Week. Obviously, this is only episode 2, so it's still a lot of trial and error, but really appreciate you guys being here. We will be back this time, 4 p.m. PT, next week for some more power-up. Trisha, we've got to get playing, watching, and reading.
I know we do. Anthony, when are you streaming on Twitch next so people know when to come over to your channel?
Oh, man, we'll probably do some either Control or Final Fantasy VII tonight around 7 p.m.
Ooh, so baby!
Couple hours, and if not, I will see you tomorrow morning for an Animal Crossing stream.
Heck to the yes. Maud, when is the next time you will be live or when someone can see your content?
Monday through Friday, I have a new episode of Fresh Daily that goes up on Quibi 5 days a week. But also right after this, hopefully the squad is in here right now. My top tier perk is that we're all going to jump into a hangout and chat for an hour, and I'm going to bring some wine. So I'm going to get off this to do that.
Anthony, you called it Wine Mom, for sure.
Wine Mom.
Now listen here, kids. You can make your own lunch. You're old enough to do it.
So funny. I love it so much.
Wine Bar.
Have a great hangout. It's going to be awesome. And folks, if you are new to my Twitch channel, the next thing that's going to be going on this very Twitch channel is the Sunday morning stream, Sunday around 10 a.m. Pacific time. I'm going to go live playing more Final Fantasy VII Remake dressed as Tifa, because I want to play the whole game dressed as Tifa because I'm living that Final Fantasy Remake life. And I have a copy, a deluxe digital edition copy of the game that I'm going to be giving away Sunday morning. So all you have to do is be a follower to win. And if you're a sub, you get an extra raffle ticket in that giveaway. So make sure to show up. It's going to be a real good time. And thank you so much, DJ Gamer 98765, for the sub right now for 16 months. You're amazing. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
A couple of people asking what my Twitch is. Geekbomb has a Twitch if you want to give that one a follow.
Yeah. Twitch.tv/Geekbomb. And someday Maud's going to stream on it and we're going to squad stream and it's going to be awesome. Right? Yeah. We'll make it happen. Maud's like, sure.
Yeah, I work Sundays.
Well, when Wacky Wednesdays are my stream with other friends streams.
Yeah, still working on Wednesday.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Okay.
We'll figure it out. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for
Thank you for watching, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.